Thank you, it's good to be here. If you've got a Bible, could you turn to 2 Samuel and chapter 9? That's near the front of the Bible, about 8 or so books in. 2 Samuel and chapter 9. And while you're turning to that, I'll give you some background to the story before we read it. David, who was king at the time, you might know David from, if you know very little about biblical things, from the story of David and Goliath, the boy that fought the giant. And David was a shepherd boy, and his older brothers were fighting in a battle that the Israelites, their nation, were engaged in. And David was sent by his father to take them some provisions, some food. And when he got there, this big challenge was issued from the opposition by this giant of a man called Goliath. And all of the Israelites were afraid, and no one individual would come out and fight him. And David came out and with a sling and a stone killed that giant. David then went on to become a harpist in the court of King Saul the king. And he was a gifted musician and a gifted poet. And his music soothed the king. But King Saul became jealous about David. And the stories of David and the giant and other enemies that David went on to defeat really angered King Saul. And King Saul became very jealous towards David and made several attempts directly to kill David, in anger throwing a spear inside the palace, and it embedded itself in the wall. Well, David was secretly anointed king. David then struck up a friendship with King Saul's son Jonathan, and that friendship is described in wonderful terms, the closeness of that friendship and this bond that the two of them had between them. But King Saul died and three of his sons died with him, including Jonathan. And there was then another challenge by one remaining son of Saul to become king, but he too soon died. And David was anointed king of Israel. But much like it is today in the land of Israel, the surrounding nations detested Israel. And so David had a period of war with all of the surrounding nations. And as we take up the reading, David has found peace. He's conquered his enemies. He's conquered the enemies from within King Saul's family. He's conquered the enemies from without. To the north, he defeated the Syrians. To the east, the Moabites. To the south, the Edomites. And to the west, the Philistines. And so David was at peace. He dealt in all these battles. And he turns his mind to other things. And we take up the reading at 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Malchar, the son of Ammiel, in Lodibar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machar, the son of Ammiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son, whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Well, that's a lovely story, isn't it? A wonderful story. The story of Mephibosheth. So I'd like us to ask, first of all, who he was, where he was found, and what he was. He was the grandson of a king. It was his grandfather, King Saul, who had been king of all Israel. So he was of a royal descent. He had, at one time, it would seem, favourable prospects because of his family connection. We can only imagine, can't we, what it would be to be born into a royal family. But Mephibosheth was of that royal family. His grandfather was King Saul. He was the heir of lands. We read about that. There were lands that belonged to the King Saul. Lands that would have come down to him through inheritance. So that's who he was. But where was he found? When King David inquired after there being any descendants, where was he? He was in a place called Lodibar. And Lodibar, the word I'm told can be translated, a place of no pasture, a place of no word, a place devoured. He was far away from these lush, kingly pastures of his inheritance. He was found in a place where no word came, somewhere off the beaten track, on the road to nowhere, so no travellers came past bringing news and bringing word. A place where sheep could not graze, cattle could not graze, because it was so barren, there was no pasture to be found. Devoured, devoid, destitute. He's found in Lodibar. And what was he? Well, he'd got an injury which seemed to categorise him as being the main thing about him. He was lame. We can look back a few chapters and see that in the overtures of King Saul's death and the turmoil that was in the kingdom, they feared for his life, and his nurse picked him up and she made to run him to a place of safety. But she tripped and he fell. And in that fall, some accident occurred, and he ended up lame, unable to walk ever again. He'd got through to adulthood, never knowing what it was to run or to walk, to hop or skip or have independence. He was lame. And this seems to be the defining characteristic about him. The grandson of a king, living in a place that's barren and destitute, and he is lame. You know, this isn't just a story, just of human interest. We believe that this book speaks of great things and great truths, and there are parallels here with our own situation before God. You see, we have a grandfather who was of a kingly line, Adam, our first father, was born or created to great things, given the role as the chief of all God's creation, the most important creature placed on earth, given a great task by God of naming animals, subduing things, and then placed in this paradise of the Garden of Eden. So Adam, our father, was given a kingly role. He was placed in kingly lands. But we're far from that now, aren't we? All of us before God. We're equally as Mephibosheth, lame before God. We can do nothing in and of ourselves to please God. The Bible tells us that the best things that we can offer, the best attempts that we have at earning favour with God of ourselves, they're just filthy, disgusting, dirty rags to him. We're lame, we can do nothing. We've lost all that our first father Adam ever had. So we are like Mephibosheth. Fallen, destitute, lost, lame. But what happened? David inquired whether there was any descendant of Saul left. You know, the kings in those days, they would very often seek to kill and put to death any possible chance that some alternate claim to the throne could arise. I dare say it happens in other parts of the world even still. In politics, even our politicians, they can stab each other in the back to destroy someone else's chances in order for their own political advancement. And maybe when David inquired as to whether there was any descendants of Saul left, David's servants wondered if that's what David had in mind. Yes, David had said there was kindness. Because when David asks this question, Ziba, the servant, says, there is one. So he answered truthfully. But he said he's lame. Maybe he said and emphasised the fact that Mephibosheth was lame was to say to David, you can leave him alone. He's not going to be a threat to you. He won't claim your kingdom. He won't be able to raise an army to come and take it by force. He is lame. But David didn't wish ill. He wished the opposite. He'd had a covenant with Jonathan, his friend, Mephibosheth's father, that he would show kindness to him and to his descendants. And so at a time of peace, the first opportunity arises, and David inquires if there is a descendant there. And there is, he's Mephibosheth. Verse 5, David went and fetched him from Lo-Debar. Mephibosheth couldn't make that journey himself. Mephibosheth didn't have it in him to make that journey to Jerusalem. He was fetched. He was brought. When Mephibosheth came before King David, verse 6. He fell on his face. He fell down before King David, did him reverence. You know, there is in the heart of many of us, in such a situation that Mephibosheth was, to have pride in our hearts, to have hatred, to have anger. Mephibosheth could well have been there, your throne, that rightfully belongs to me. The wealth and the luxury that you're enjoying, that's all rightfully mine. He could have been angered at all that had befallen upon his grandfather and upon his father, bitter towards David, but no. He fell on his face, did him reverence, and said, "Why would you look upon such a dead dog as me?" Mephibosheth fell on his face. He had a fall when he was a young lad, 5 years of age. It made him lame. But it was this falling on his face now before the king that was the means of him being raised up. So Mephibosheth was fetched. He fell on his face. Verse 7 says that he was favoured. King David said, "Mephibosheth, you will eat at my table continually." We have an expression in English, an idiom, to get your feet under the table. It means to get in with someone, doesn't it? To be so well established with that person that you're free to come and eat at their table. To get your feet under their table. And Mephibosheth got his feet under the table of the king. There's a later account in scripture where we read about the table of King David, and there was his chancellor, the man who ran the finances. There was Joab, the general of the army. There were David's sons there. And there was Mephibosheth in this select, privileged group that would eat at the king's table. And you know, there's a wonderful thing about this picture about Mephibosheth being at the king's table. You know, when he was sat at the king's table, and they were all drawn up around the banquet that was laid before them, no one could see his feet, could they? No one could see that he was lame. No one could see that it wasn't through his own merits and his own efforts that he'd got that to that table. They all sat round there as equals. And again, with this, there are parallels with us before God. You see, none of us has the ability to come to God. We have to be fetched. There has to be a call given out. And there is a call to each and every one of you to come. All things are now ready. Tim read from Ephesians earlier to show us that the gift of God is salvation. It's all of grace. It's not of works. He's raised us up to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He's raised us up to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't there a wonderful parallel there between sitting with Christ in heaven and Mephibosheth sat round the throne, round the table of King David? Mephibosheth was fetched. And there's a call, there's an issue that comes to you. He fell on his face. You know, if we're to come before God, we can't come with pride in our hearts, thinking that we somehow deserve all of his favour. We can't come with anger towards him because of things that have happened in our life. We have to, like Mephibosheth, accept that we're lame. We've got nothing in ourselves. We don't deserve anything of the king. It's all of his grace and his goodness that he gives it to us. We need to fall down and worship him. And when we do, we find that we're favoured, that we can be raised up with Christ Jesus to sit in heavenly places. Do you know what that's like? If you don't, there's an invitation there, and it's wonderful to come. And I'd urge you to come now. Just in closing, there's a postscript to this story. It's found a few chapters later on in chapter 16. There's been a dissent in the kingdom, and one of David's own sons has tried to take the throne before his father has died. And some of the Israelites have gone after him, and some have stayed loyal to David. But David has had to temporarily leave Jerusalem. He's had to go from that place and run and try and find himself an army and a place of temporary safety. And as David flees, the servant of Mephibosheth, Ziba, got some donkeys together, and he got some raisins and some loaves of bread and some summer fruits and a bottle of wine, and he sent them to King David. And King David says, well, where is your master's son? Where is Mephibosheth? And Ziba said, oh, he abides in Jerusalem. He said, today, the house of Israel will restore to me the kingdom of my father. So after all that's happened, all that David has done for Mephibosheth, when David himself is in a time of need and distress, Mephibosheth's servant comes, brings him a gift, and tells him that Mephibosheth has got it into his head that this is to all of his advantage, and the kingdom will restore to him. And David said, well, all that Mephibosheth had, you can have, Ziba. That doesn't sound like Mephibosheth, does it? Not the man that fell on his face. But a few chapters still, when David is then restored to the kingdom in chapter 19, we read that when David returned, chapter 19 verse 20, when David returned, Mephibosheth came down to meet the king, and he'd neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the kingdom departed unto the day that he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, why did you not come with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for he said, I will saddle me an ass, that I might ride on it and go to the king, because you are lame. So now there's a different version of events. Mephibosheth says, look, my lord the king, my servant has tricked me. He said, stay here, you can't come, but I'll go on your behalf. And my servant's told this lie about me. And I think David was inclined to believe Mephibosheth. He looked at the state of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth wasn't the man who looked like he was about to make himself king. From the day that David had fled, he had not looked after himself one bit. He hadn't trimmed his beard. He says he hadn't dressed his feet. I mean, maybe there was something awful about these feet that had never walked. Maybe they're prone to infection, a lack of blood flow, whatever, pus. But he'd not even bothered to trim his disgusting feet. He'd not trimmed his beard, he'd not washed his clothes until the day that David came back. David said, well, the lands that I've given to Ziba, have them back once again. Maybe this was a test, for Mephibosheth said, oh, let Ziba have it all. Let him have all that land, it doesn't matter. For now, my lord the king is come again in peace to his own house. Now David's son Solomon was a wise man, wasn't he? And he had this test two prostitutes lived together. They had a child each, and that was all they had, this child. And one of them, their baby died, and took the other baby. And the true mother knew her child, but no one else could tell them apart. And so they came before King Solomon, that he could decide as to whose this baby was. And King Solomon, well, he couldn't tell. They didn't have DNA back in those days. He got no way of knowing. It was just one woman's word against the other woman's word. But he said, I'm going to get a sword. And I'm going to just cut this baby in two. And you can have half each. And you know what the true mother did? She said, in that case, let her have it. But you know, that's the same test that David did here. Mephibosheth. He's been tricked by a servant. A lie has been told about him. His lands have been given to his servant. And then when David discovers the truth, or thinks maybe he's near to the truth, he says, well, you can have them back. Go halves with Ziba on this land. And Mephibosheth says, oh, the land is nothing. It matters not. I'm with my Lord, the King. Is that how you feel about Jesus? That you're with him. He's everything to you. Land, health, wealth, matters nothing. Are you with Jesus? Well, thanks for listening. We're going to close as we sing the song, Jesus Paid It All.